I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. The world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blasts. And the day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart.
And but turn to the book of John and chapter number 11. I know you have never heard this portion of scripture preached on about Lazarus. I thought, man, you know, I struggled a little bit about what the Lord would have me to preach. And I told my wife, you know, sometimes I do struggle. I don't know if Brother Wilson has ever done that or Brother Coblentz. And I have two or three messages on my mind that God has put on my heart for the day or for the evening service or whatever. And then I ask God, you know, God, give me direction. And I'm sure I have pulled the wrong plug a few times in my life and preached the wrong sermon. And like that one preacher said, look, we'll start on this. If this don't work, we'll do something else. And we'll go in another direction. But it thrilled my heart when you guys sing and played that song, He Lives, because tonight I want to address the subject of a raising of the dead. A raising of the dead. And I hope we don't have to do that tonight. I've told you about the church that was so dead that a gentleman really did die during the service, and they carried out 10 people before they got the right one. That's pretty dead, isn't it? At Tabernacle Baptist in Greenville, South Carolina, on a Wednesday night, my mom and dad sat back on this side. A man actually did die down front before the service ever started. That'd be a way to get your service started, wouldn't it? Amen. And but I was sitting there thinking, in this day in which we live, all the electronics, all the modern day marvels that we have, if Jesus was here and he raised someone from the dead, I wonder if it would even affect us. You know, because of all that we've seen.
Yeah.
Now you've got all this AI, artificial intelligence. Well, that's nothing new. They've had that in Washington, D.C. for years.
Amen.
Artificial intelligence. You get my drift? Maybe not the same kind of AI that they're talking about, but, you know, now they're taking people who are dead and they can recreate their image and create a performance by them. They can even take a movie star, using their terms, and make them appear to be in a movie that they've never been in before in their life, just by creating that image and making it sound like them and look like them and talk like them. And Pam is praying that they never give me that information and create another me. Can you imagine two of me? Or three? That would be scary, wouldn't it? But it's like, this. How would we know if we were with the real one? Right? But I'm thinking, with all of this stuff that's going on, I wonder if, let's just say we were at a funeral. And there's been a few funerals that I have been in attendance. I don't think I've ever been a part of one. I think I have maybe one or two where they left the casket open during the service. Maybe you might have been to a funeral like that where they left the casket open during the service. You know, usually after the family comes in, or before the family comes in, the funeral home directors will come down and close the casket and take that key and lock that box and wind it tight. But they can wind, if I die before Jesus comes, they can wind on that thing all they want to. But when the trump sounds, amen, I'm coming out of the ground.
Yes.
You ever wondered, is the sod going to bust open? Or are we just going to pass through without disturbing the dirt? Y'all ever wonder about things like that, or is it just me? Is it just my convoluted mind? You know, I was sitting in the truck one day at Wendy's eating Frosty years ago, and you ever been like when a storm starts and you got these great big old raindrops, you know, start hitting your windshield? I mean, they look like they're big as this microphone cover. And I was sitting there, and there's a bird out there hopping around, and I thought, what's that bird going to think if one of them raindrops hits him in the head? He's going to think the sky is falling, amen, Chicken Little. But I think, you know, what's going to happen to the dirt? You know, Jesus was able to pass through solid objects, so we could come out of the ground and never disturb one bit of sod and be resurrected, you know. But they come in and they close that casket and they lock it down, but sometimes they leave it open. What if the Lord came in the back door and walked down the aisle and called the name of that person, I'll just use my mom's name and say it, and said, Betty, come forth. And she got up out of that casket and threw her legs over there and got up and looked around. What would we do? What would we do? How would we react? Would we be happy? Would we be amazed? Would we be joyous? I don't know how I would react. I know well Daddy would react. He'd say, phew, a few more moments of peace in heaven. No, he wouldn't say that. But in John chapter 11, in verse number 1, it says, now a certain man. Isn't it amazing how many times the Bible uses that word certain? Aren't you glad God is an individual God?
Yes.
Aren't you glad that he came to your house, to your place of business, to where you are? Aren't you glad he brought conviction to your soul?
Yes.
On an individual basis. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, sent to Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. This sickness is not unto death. It's not for the purpose of putting another person into eternity, but it's for the purpose that God might be glorified and honored and lifted up. And so we have here in this 11th chapter a raising of the dead. Did you know, you say, man, I would have liked to have been there to see that raising of Lazarus from the dead. But you know what? I've seen people raised from the dead several times. And if you've ever seen anybody get saved, born again, you've seen somebody get raised from the dead. Spiritually, not physically. But how much better the spiritual raising of the dead than the physical raising of the dead? Because if you raise the dead physically, they just got to die again.
That's right.
Just like Lazarus had to die again sometime, somewhere. We don't have a record of that. By the way, did you know the Jews sought to kill him?
Yes.
Because of the fact that he had been raised from the dead, and they felt like that he was a threat to their religious position, and they sought to kill him because he was associated with Jesus. A lot of people don't even realize that when God raised him from the dead, it just put his life in danger. And I've said this often, I'm pretty sure he was upset when he came back from the dead, because he knew he was going to have to die again, and he's going to have to put up with them two sisters. I had one sister. Lord knows I'd have never lived through two. Daddy would have beat me to death if I'd had two sisters. I got enough whippings over one. And I had a younger brother. Me and him made it all right. And my sister and we never did get along until she got married and got out of the house. And we got separated. We're fine now, but I used to like to beat her up. She's 5 years older than me, but I could whip her any day of the week. And I would do it every chance I got. And Daddy would whip me, but it was worth it. Amen. I would throw rocks at her. I would throw green tomatoes at her. I would throw anything I could. One day, she had to babysit me in the summer. What a blessing. Mama worked and Daddy was pastoring. And so imagine this, a 10-year-old and a 15-year-old girl babysitting her 10-year-old brother. One day she went out of the house and I locked all the doors. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning. I didn't let her back in till Mama got home. That's a bad day for my sister. It's a bad day for me when my daddy got home. She was responsible for setting out the garbage. I would take them four or five houses down to the neighbor's house and set them down at my neighbor's house. She would have to go get them. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. But here Lazarus comes back, and he's got to deal with his sisters, man. He's got to deal with all these physical problems, and he's got to die again. He's got to face the threat of death, and the Jews are after him. And, yeah, he gets to come back and live again. But you know what? I don't want to live one day past whatever the Lord has allotted for me. Amen. Because like Hezekiah, those last 15 years might be bad for me. We don't know what will happen in those years. And like I said, I'm not chasing down any ambulances, and I'm enjoying life, and I'm not walking into the funeral home and asking for a discount, you know, as a walk-in project. I'm not. I enjoy life. I have good time in life. Every day's not peaches and cream. Every day's not roses. But I try to have a good time someday in every day of my life, because I thank God for every day that he gives me. Every day is a good day, but some are a lot better than others. Did y'all testify to that? And so when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he said, hey, don't worry about it. This sickness is not unto death, but that God might be glorified. And so we might get to see somebody raised from the dead tonight. Mm-hmm. If somebody got saved.
That's right. Sure.
Hey, y'all have seen some people raised from the dead recently. Spiritually, when they received eternal life, never to die again. Amen. Spiritually, going to live forever. We were talking about this morning what a blessing it is that when we get our new bodies, amen, and get our glorified bodies, not just to be rid of the illnesses of the flesh and the sicknesses that we have and all the surgeries and doctor's appointments and all this stuff that we have. No, but to get rid of the rotten, stinking flesh, amen, that we don't have to fight against that anymore. And we can serve God perfectly and in full submission like we want to do now, but we can't because we still have the Adamic nature.
That's right. Amen.
That's right. You know, I want to, but I'm like Paul in Romans chapter 7. It don't always work out. It don't always go the right way. I don't always think the right things or say the right words or react in a Christian, in a Christ-like manner. It's like I've told you before, sometimes we're in Walmart and I get upset. And Pam always says, remember now, you're a preacher. And I say, not in Walmart, I ain't. Ain't no preachers in Walmart. You're a customer. Like snorting energy or snouting, whatever you want to do. Jason back there, he was snorting coffee down there today. Doesn't been a bad influence on him. He wide open, he left like this. He ain't blinked since. Sean, he'd go to bed tonight, he'd be like this. Will you shut your eyes? I can't. It reminds me of the first time my brother-in-law's sister came to our house, Pete and Denise, for snacks after church, and we didn't drink coffee at that time. And we had never made coffee, but they liked coffee, so we bought a coffee pot, and Pam made some coffee. I had to take a whip and beat that stuff back in the cup. It was so strong. Get back in that cup! Amen. I didn't have to buy any motor oil for weeks. And when my brother-in-law took a drink of that, it was like... I said, now don't drink it if you think it's going to bother your sleep. He said, sleep? I just hope I can blink because my eyes are going to dry out. But to get rid of that flesh is going to be one of the great joys of heaven.
Yes.
Along with getting rid of all the infirmities that we experience here on this earth. And never have to go to a doctor. And never have to go to a hospital. And never be put in a medical situation again.
Yeah.
But somebody might get something better than that here tonight. They might get raised from the dead. And be made to live forevermore. I'm glad that I was raised from the dead many years ago, amen? And that I was given eternal life, never to die again. Oh yes, this body may fade away and be planted in the ground, but don't weep for me. I'll be well alive and in the presence of my Savior. I'll be more alive than I've ever been in my life. So here we have in chapter 11 a raising from the dead. There's a few things I just want to mention and we'll be done. Number one, there's some things that are hard to be understood, isn't there? Look in verse 5. What does it say? Now Jesus done what? Loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You believe Jesus loves you? He does. I know that he loves me. I know that God loves me because of the sacrifice that he made by giving his only begotten son to die for my sins and to provide a way of righteousness for me. But Jesus loved Martha and Jesus loved Mary, her sister, and Jesus loved Lazarus. And Lazarus was sick, was he not? And he must have been pretty ill. Must have been a pretty serious sickness. They didn't have all the marvels of medicine like we had today. They didn't have an emergency room where you could go and sit 27 hours and die before they ever see you. Right? You know, used to you could go in the ambulance and get seen pretty quickly. But that don't even work anymore sometimes. But they didn't have all the doctors. They didn't have urgent care. 24/7 and all of that. But Lazarus was very sick. And so Jesus loved them, right? We know that. It tells us that Jesus loved them. So in verse 6 it says, when he heard therefore that he was sick, he rushed to his side. Is that what it says? Is that what we would do for our loved one? Hey, I remember when my dad first, when dad had open heart surgery, he was 58 or 9, and I didn't even know he was having heart trouble. Mom and dad were pretty private about their medical aspect of their life. They lived in Greenville, South Carolina, or Travelers Rest. I lived in Mount Airy at that time, and I remember when my mom called me crying and said, your daddy's in the hospital, he's going to have open heart surgery. I didn't even know he was sick. You know what I did? I told Pam, I said, I got to go see and check on Daddy. And I packed a couple of things in a bag. I called my boss, said I won't be there tomorrow. And I got in the car, and I went to Travelers Rest. I went to Greenville, actually, to the Greenville Memorial Hospital, and I went in the room to see my daddy. I couldn't heal him. But you know why? I loved him. I wanted to see what was going on firsthand. I wanted to check on him. I wanted to see for myself what his physical condition was. But what did Jesus do that loved Lazarus when he heard that Lazarus was sick? Look what it says in verse 6. He abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. He didn't run to Lazarus' side, but I thought he loved him. He didn't make a beeline to where Lazarus was at. He didn't go to the emergency room and sit with the family. He didn't go to the hospital and see what was going on firsthand. No, he abode 2 days longer where he was at. He didn't make a move at all. Do you think Martha and Mary understood that? I don't, because I think they were made out of the same clay we are. If Jesus loved them, why did he tarry? We wouldn't have done that. Hey, if you ever had a loved one, a mom or dad, a brother or sister that called you and said, hey, they're in bad shape. I don't know if they're going to make it through the night. What did you do? If it was humanly possible, you went to where they were at to spend time with them. Amen. But Jesus didn't. But you know what? Jesus don't operate like we think he should. Jesus don't operate like we do. His ways are what? Way far above our ways. Yeah. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Aren't you glad Jesus don't think like we think?
Oh my, yes.
Woo! If Jesus thought like I thought, there'd be a lot of dead people on the way home tomorrow. Because the ones that got in my way, I would vaporize them. You would too, some of them. Going to work in the morning on 15, you'd knock them over the guardrail if you could get by with it. Boom, pit maneuver, right there, baby. Did y'all see that lady the other day in that van, that car chase? Brother Matt, did you see that? She was chasing the police. It was a lady. I would have run too. Hey, man, I mean, she hit wrecked. I mean, when they got her out of the car, she jumped up on the hood of a semi-tractor trailer and went like this on the windshield. And when they showed her, that was the wildest looking woman I ever seen in my life. I mean, she was bloody, and she was way out there. But aren't you glad Jesus don't think the way we think? Aren't you glad he don't handle the situations the way we think they ought to be handled? Aren't you glad that we have a great, perfect, almighty God who doeth all things well, amen, that never makes a mistake, that he does things right, on time, every time?
Yes.
That's the kind of God we got. Amen. So, but sometimes he does things that's hard for me to understand. My brother-in-law died with a brain tumor when he was 54. One of my pastors, whom I learned so much from as growing up, before I ever surrendered to preaching, after I surrendered to preaching, how I learned so much from him, he died at 54 with cancer. I didn't understand that. But you know what? I didn't question God. Because he don't operate like I do. There was a reason for that. So, number one, sometimes God does things that are hard for us to understand from a human point of view. But could I say, you can still trust him.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen. You can still trust him, amen. I have the utmost faith that God has always will do the right thing, amen. Even though I don't understand it, guess what? Sometimes I don't like it.
That's right.
And you don't either. Sometimes I don't like the way things turned out. If I could have changed it, I would have done it different. But you know what? Thank God, God doesn't give me that power. But I'm glad that he has that power.
Yes.
And he exerts it as needed. So that's number one. Then, number two, there was a seemingly impossible situation looming. Look, if you would, in verse 11. These things said he, talking about Jesus. And after that, he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. You know, you heard that. You get a cold, what do? Drink lots of fluids, liquids, get some rest. And eventually it'll go away. I know y'all never watched the Beverly Hillbillies, but I do. That's one of my spiritual weaknesses. But Granny Clampett is a doctor, in case y'all don't watch. And she had a cure for the cold.
Yeah.
And man, Dr. Clyburn, he got upset. Man, she got a cure for the cold. He said, what is it? She said, take one spoonful, drink plenty of liquids, rest for 10 days, and it'll be gone. Jed said, yep, it ain't never failed yet. Nothing new, right? Isn't that what they tell you? Go home and get some rest. You need to get some sleep. And that's what the disciples thought. He said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I'm going that I might awake him out of sleep. And in verse 12, his disciples said, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. He'll get better if you'll let him sleep. They were telling God how to cure Lazarus. Imagine that, the one who made him. Lord, you know what? Lord, I'm going to tell you how you ought to handle this. Y'all ever done that? Lord, right here's the way I think you ought to handle this. Mm-hmm. Lord, this is what you need to do. We might not do it arrogantly, but even if we don't say it, we think it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We might be afraid to say it, but we'll think it. This is the way this ought to be handled. God, this is the way you ought to take care of this situation. I said, Lord, just let him sleep. If you let him sleep, he'll get well. Verse 13, it said, howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. That's pretty plain, ain't it? Now, look in verse 15. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. To the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. They don't have a clue what the Lord is even. You know, that gives me some solace it makes me feel a little bit better about my stupidity, because the disciples were right there in his presence, and a lot of time they didn't understand nothing that Jesus was talking about. They completely missed the point. Like when Jesus was on the boat and he said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." And the disciples all said, "Oh Lord, he's mad because we ain't got but one loaf of bread." Y'all remember that story? "Oh, he's mad because we didn't bring but one loaf of bread, and we ain't going to have enough to eat." Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." They missed it so far, they wasn't even in the ballpark. Sometimes we miss it so far, we ain't even in the ballpark, amen. Right. Yeah. That's why it's important for us to stay close to God and stay in his word, amen. Hey, when Jesus does speak and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal unto us the things that we read and give us understanding so we can know what the Lord's talking about. I said, "Well, let's go with him. We're going to die with him. We're going down with him." That ain't what the Lord's talking about. Look at this. "Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already." That's a seemingly impossible situation. 4 days dead. Now, we got all the modern marvels of this day where we can embalm people, amen, and keep them in morgues and keep their bodies cold. I remember a preacher in our area, back when COVID was raging, and him and his wife were in the hospital at the same time with COVID, Brother Ricky Heyman, and he wound up dying from COVID, and his wife was still in the hospital with COVID trying to recuperate, and she wound up living, and they didn't have his funeral for several weeks, waiting to get for her to get out of the hospital so she could attend the services. I mean, it was weeks that they before that they actually had the funeral. And so with the modern marvels, you know, they're able to embalm people and preserve them, preserve their body, preserve their flesh or whatnot for a number of days without them stinking or without them decaying so much or without them. But that wasn't the case in this day. They had spices and they had perfumes and they had all of this. They could cover up the sin of death, but you couldn't cover up death. And they said, "He's been in the grave 4 days already." How was Jesus going to fix that? Why didn't you go when he was sick? Why didn't you leave straight from where you were at the very moment that you heard he was sick? Why did you wait that he was dead 4 days? How was he going to fix? Hey, can I say this? There's been a few situations in my life that I didn't know how in the world I was going to survive it.
Yes.
Me and my wife, I'm not going to divulge them to you, but me and my wife have been through some things in our 49 years of marriage that I wondered if I was going to survive. I'm not talking about marital troubles. Whatever she said to do, I did it. That's a good way to stay married, amen. It ain't Bible. It's like I've told you so many times, man's ahead, but she's the neck that turns ahead, amen. No, she ain't never tried to usurp authority from me. I wish she had a few times. It'd have saved me a lot of money if I'd listened to her counsel. I used to like trade cards when I was young. That's a losing proposition. Especially the prices of them nowadays. I used to like trade cards. I traded cards one time and she didn't even know it. She came home and said, "Whose car is that in the driveway?" I said, "Ours." Is that the truth? And the bad thing about it was I traded off a car she really liked. It took a while to get over that one. But that ain't the kind of problems I'm talking about. That ain't the situation. We've been through some situations in our life, family-wise and whatnot, that I didn't know if I was going to live through. Honestly, it beat me down physically, mentally. And I didn't know if either one of us was going to pull through. I got good news. God is faithful to do what we need. When we need it, at just the right time. Can I say to you, there's no God like my God.
That's right.
I don't have any bad thing to say about him. There's no God like my God. And God is always somehow or another, in his miraculous way, worked it out, amen, that we did survive. And you know what? I didn't enjoy the trial. I didn't enjoy the tribulation. I didn't enjoy the trouble. But I was always coming out closer to God than I was when I went in, amen. Because it drove me to my knees, and it drove me to Calvary, and it drove me closer to Him. And I could say, thank God.
It'll either make us bitter or better.
Yes.
Heard that said many times,
and it's so true. But there was a seemingly impossible situation. Lord, He's been dead 4 days. How are you going to fix that? Number three. Human reasoning falls short when it comes to the things of God. Look in verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. That was human reasoning. That was human logic. She knew about the resurrection. She knew that there was a resurrection day coming. She knew that someday Lazarus, who had put his faith, boy, isn't that a blessing for us that are saved? When our loved ones who are saved, when we had to walk out to the graveyard and put them in the ground, and we've lost contact with them here earthly, that one of these days, amen, that's not the end. One of these days, we'll be reunited with them, and we'll see them again in the last day, in the resurrection.
Yes.
Saddest preaching I've ever done was to the family of a lost person.
Yeah. Yes.
That sat in those pews with the hopeless look in their eyes, knowing that if they were saved, and their loved one was lost, or vice versa, the only time they might get to see him again is at the great white throne judgment. But we have a blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. Like he was talking about, we're going to be caught up together in the air and meet the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord eternally. I miss my mom and daddy. I miss my mother-in-law. Pam's dad's still alive. He's 85 or 6. I miss my mom and daddy. I talk to them sometimes up in heaven. I don't know if they can hear me or not, but just in case they can, I do. Sometimes when I'm praying, Brother Wilson, I say, God, if mom and daddy's anywhere close by, would you tell them I said hello? You say, well, you don't know that God can hear you and do that. You don't know that he can. Amen. Don't it say they're in the to be absent? We are willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. If they're present with the Lord, and I ask the Lord to say hello to them, don't you think he's capable of relaying that message? Some of y'all looking at me kind of strange.
Sure can.
You believe what you want to. I believe what I want to. If y'all not on speaking terms, don't talk to them. That's fine. But I'm going to tell them hello every once in a while. Just in case. That's like I tell Pam, if I die before you, you better not get married again. Because I'm going to come back and haunt you. So, well, preacher, it says in the Bible, the angels neither marry nor are given. I definitely ain't no angel. I said, just in case there is a chance we can be together in heaven, you better not get married. Well, you've had it. Can you imagine, as good a husband as I am now, how good I would be in my new body? I'm going a little deep there off the end. But Martha said, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection. You know, you can't figure out God with a slide rule.
No, that's right.
Y'all ever seen Foghorn Leghorn? That's another one of my deep cartoon characters on TV. I mean, y'all know who Foghorn Leghorn. Hey, praise God, y'all are my kind of people. Y'all ever seen him babysit that little chicken? That's so smart. And they're playing hide and seek. And Foghorn hides in the feed box. And the little chicken gets out his slide rule and his pad and his pencil, and he goes to figuring and writing out equations. And he gets a shovel, and he goes over here. Feed box over there. He goes over here, puts the shovel in the ground, and Foghorn Leghorn pops out. And Foghorn looks at that feed box and says, "No, I better not look. I just might be in there." That's where he hid. But the little chicken dug him up over here. Why? Because he figured it out with a slide rule. You can't figure God out with a slide rule. Now, some of y'all are going to go home and Google Foghorn Leghorn. And a little chicken so you can watch the cartoons. But you can't figure God. You can't figure out God on pen and pencil. With pencil and paper.
That's right.
He's got power that we have not yet experienced to do things. God has power to do things for us that we have not yet experienced. All right, four things, and I'm done. Number one, in verse 39a, we see that there was a direct command given. What was it? Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." A direct command. If you want to see the dead risen, if you want to see the raising of the dead, you got to obey God. If you want to see things happen in your life, you got to obey God. You got to heed His instructions. He said, "Take." Could God have risen Him from the dead and brought Him through the stone without the stone ever moving? Did God need them to move the stone to get Lazarus out of that tomb? He didn't, did he? But what did he do? He gave them a direct command. Take ye away the stone. And he gives us direct commands, don't he? Do this, do that. Was it you that said last night in prayer meeting, talking about things that were conditional? There are some things that are conditional with God. Some things are unconditional. Some things, hey, this was conditional. He gave a direct command. He said, "You take away the stone."
That's right.
Well, what kind of response? He got, number two, he got a doubtful response. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." There was a doubtful response. She thought, what's the use to take the stone away now? Why didn't you come here when we sent for you? Even if she didn't say, hey, she could have said that and it wasn't recorded. Mm-hmm. Or she could have thought it, or she could have not have done neither. But by her response on this, I'm pretty sure she was thinking, why didn't you come when we called for you?
Sure.
When he was still alive. Wouldn't we have thought like that? That's the way I would have thought. Lord, why you want me to take the stone away? He's been dead 4 days. He's stinking. Rigor mortis has set in. He's already started decaying. Why didn't you come while he was still alive and you could have touched him and healed him like you did all the other hundreds? Sometimes we, when God gives us a direct command, we have a doubtful response, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
We think, Lord, it don't seem like the right way to go about this. Then we see number three, there was a dreaded revelation. In verse 43, when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Yes, he came forth, but he was bound up like a mummy. A dreaded revelation. He comes out in grave clothes. Could Jesus have brought him out without the grave clothes?
Sure.
Yes. He could have brought him out in the normal everyday attire for that day. But he chose to bring him out in grave clothes, didn't he? That wasn't probably exactly what they had in mind either. It was a revelation that was dreaded. They thought, man, here he is. Here he comes out in grave clothes. I don't know what's going on here. He's stinking. But I'm glad, number four, there was a delightful ending. He said, when Lazarus came forth and he came out bound, Jesus said, loose him and let him go.
Amen.
That was a delightful ending. What a delightful day when I got raised from the dead and Jesus told the devil, loose him, let him go. He don't belong to you anymore.
That's right.
You're looking at a child of the King. And if you're saved, I'm looking at a child of the King. And my Father is rich, as the psalm says, in houses and land. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hand. Loosen. Aren't you glad that God said, loosen? Aren't you glad that you're free tonight if you're saved? Isn't it good to be free from the chains of sin? And not be bound down and not have those carnal desires like we used to have and not follow headlong after the world and the satanic things and the devil and all that goes with that, but rather have a desire to come to the house of God on a Sunday night and be around God's people whom I used to would never be caught with before I got saved because I didn't like you.
That's right. Yep.
And when you came to my door to visit or knock on my door as a lost man, I wouldn't go to the door because I didn't have nothing to say to you and I didn't want to hear nothing you had to say. But now it's different now, amen. Since the Lord saved me and brought me out of that, thank God. Now I can look forward to coming to the house of God. Now I look forward to the fellowship that we yes. have before and after service. Yes. Now I can look forward to hearing the songs of Zion, amen, and hear the preaching of God's word. I got a different appetite than I used to have. Like Brother Mays Jackson used to say, I didn't quit drinking, I just changed fountains. Amen. Now I'm drinking from the water of life freely, that's springing up within me, a well, it's eternal. I have everlasting life. Man, I'm glad I'm raised from the dead. Now, I hope. Revival's not about raising from the dead. It may be the raising from the dead may be the results of revival.
That's right.
People getting saved. I think revival's for church people, for saved people. It's to rekindle our fire. Then we might see people get saved as a result of that. It's like he said. Somebody said one time, I don't know who, you only get one chance to make a first impression. And like, hey, it's good to have a good spirit about us. I was sitting there thinking when you was talking about you appreciate the church and the way they treat visitors that come in. I went somewhere and preached a few years ago. They asked my wife to move 3 times because she had somebody see. Well, after that 3rd time, the Lord completely left me. And the devil took over. And I told her, I said, honey, if anybody asks you to move one more time, we're going to move, but we're moving out to the car. And they can get whoever they want to preach. And they can sit wherever they want to sit. And the next time I was going to say, somebody say, excuse me, you've got my seat. I was going to say, well, I don't see your name on it, bub. What makes this your seat? Honestly, ask her 3 times to move because she has somebody's seat. Now, why would you ask a beautiful woman like that to move? Why wouldn't you just sit down beside her? By the way, fellas, you can shake hands with her. I won't shoot you over that. But aren't you glad if you're saved, you've been raised from the dead?
Yes.
Let's stand. Come to the piano. Oh, I hope we get to see somebody raised from the dead this week. Hope I get back home and Brother Wilson sends me a text either this week or the week after or the week after and says, guess what? Revivals broke out. Yes. Father, help us, Lord, to realize a miracle of a saving of a soul, the raising of the dead. Lord, bless this meeting this week. Bless each preacher that comes in every night. Anoint him with your power and your spirit that he might preach the word of God in spirit and in truth. And the hearts of your people would be revived and refreshed, and the lost would be convicted and saved. Have your way in this, your invitation. Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need to come while she plays, you come to this altar tonight. Maybe you need your fire rekindled. Maybe you need to pray for somebody that needs to be raised from the dead spiritually. Whatever it is, if God puts it on your heart, you come. If God doesn't impress upon your heart, you stay right where you're at. Sweet hour of prayer. God speaks to your heart, you come tonight. Don't hinder or hamper the Spirit of God. Somebody's soul might weigh in the balance. Play another verse if you would. Good time we men had last night. Sweet hour of prayer.